The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hi, I'm Sif Hyder, the founder of Array. I'm a wellness entrepreneur and digital creator, and this is my show, the Dream Bigger Podcast. Listen, I love dreaming big, but you know what I love more? Actually having the resources to make those big dreams happen. And hey, dreams can sometimes be private jets, but other times they can look a little something like having the best skin of your damn life, or starting a successful business, or delving into spirituality. So on this podcast, I chat with experts and thought leaders from different fields about their tips and tricks on doing exactly that. So let's get right into it. Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Dream Bigger Podcast. And today I am coming at you with another solo. So I have really grown to love doing solos just because it's my chance to connect with you guys, kind of give you guys updates on what's going on. And also, I love hearing from you guys on what you want to hear more about. And so everything that I'm talking about today is topics that you guys have specifically asked for, or questions that you guys have specifically asked. So it's, you know, really fun for me to kind of come up with these answers because I realize that these are the things that you guys are the most curious about. So in terms of what we are going to be talking about today, I'm getting into things about social media, mental health slash like managing stress, being a business owner. And then other things include branding and launch strategies for Array. You guys really want to know about the Aura Ring. I've gotten so many messages about that as well. And then also just like the work environment that we have at Array, because this was another very popular question. So with that, I'm just going to dive right into the kind of topic. So the first thing I want to talk about is how to balance social media and not get sucked in. Okay, so I'm so happy that someone asked this question because I actually have a very specific method that I implemented, I want to say about a month and a half back, which adds to how I control social media usage. So I started to implement office hours for my phone. Okay. And I'm telling you guys, this is such a game changer because for, I would say, like a very, very long time, I've always had boundaries with my phone in the morning where I wake up and for the first hour of my day, I do not look at my phone. So I don't want to get overwhelmed by social media. I don't want to get overwhelmed by text messages or Slack messages. Like, this is just not stuff I check when I wake up because I want to give myself time to ground. So that's like when my office hours, quote unquote, for my phone begins, is 1 hour after I wake up. Okay. So that's typically, I would say, between 7:30 to 8 a.m. is when I'm first looking at my phone. And by that time, I have done the things that I need to do in order to ground myself so that I'm not overwhelmed with the, you know, incoming information. So I have journaled. I have kind of sat alone with my thoughts on certain days. I do like a short meditation. I do all of those things before I'm intaking that information. So that really helps me set the tone for the day. And you guys, you know, I've noticed that on days where I used to get up and either check Slack messages or go on social media right away, I noticed that there was a marked difference in both my mental health and my creativity, and also just how I was showing up into the world, right? Like, I felt like I was more frantic. I was being much more reactive versus proactive, and it just wasn't serving me in the way that I needed it to. So having that boundary at the beginning of the day has been incredibly game changing. And it's been something that I've done for years now. But the new thing that I've implemented over the last, like, I would say a little bit more than a month, is my office hour for my phone ends at 10 p.m., okay? So after 10 p.m., I'm not looking at my email. I'm not looking at my social media. I'm not looking at Slack messages. I'm not looking anymore. And the reason is because, again, the same thing. So we all know, you know, it's 10 p.m., maybe you've gotten into bed. and then you start scrolling. It's on TikTok, on Instagram, pick your social media, whatever it is. And you start scrolling. And before you know, it's 11:30 p.m. and you've realized that you've missed your bedtime, the time that you wanted to go to bed. You wake up the next morning, you're either snoozing or you're tired. And then at the end of the day as well, like after you finish that scroll session, you don't feel good and you feel too wired to get good sleep. So when you have an end time for your social media usage or like any of those like notification heavy apps that exist on our phones, I feel like it gives you actually time to unwind. And I've personally noticed that my quality of sleep is so much better. You guys, it is so much better because in that time that I've like actually finished off my social media hours, right? Or like my phone hours essentially at 10 p.m. to when I go to bed, which is like 10:30 or 10:45, whatever that time is, I find that I've had time to unwind. So either I'm like reading a book, and even if I'm reading the best book on the face of the planet, I'm not going to read it for more than 45 minutes because I physically feel too tired, right? Or, you know, I'm just having a conversation with Nish. Point is, I'm not like alert. I've kind of given myself, like my day has kind of been bookended, if that makes sense, right? Because oftentimes we'll get off work, but then we're doing all these other things and we've just not had time to unwind enough to have like a peaceful, restful sleep. So that has been an absolute game changer. I also noticed that I don't know, like I'm much more creative when I have boundaries around how much I'm consuming. So if you are someone who struggles with especially like, you know, having an end time with your phone or like you find yourself scrolling for a long time before bed, I find that having this kind of boundary around your phone is super, super helpful. Also, the other thing that I do is a parasympathetic day, which I've talked about in a past podcast episode. But essentially, my parasympathetic day is every Sunday, I essentially take the day to intentionally rest. So that means that I'm doing things to nourish my nervous system. So I am going on really long walks. I'm avoiding heavy workouts. I stay away from social plans no matter what on Sundays. I take that day to like just reset for the whole week. I'm consuming really feel-good information, like a happy TV show or a happy movie. I'm playing really relaxing music in the home. All of those things I do on my parasympathetic day. And that day, I'm also not producing social media content. So that is the day that I'm not on Instagram. I'm not going on stories. I'm not posting. I don't care to look at what other people are doing. And I found that having this one day a week where I'm not consuming social media has helped me so much in terms of my creativity and just my habits around these apps, right? Because they're meant to be addictive. And so you kind of have to figure out your own system. So this is my system for like controlling my usage, for realizing that, you know, there's like a real life beyond social media, because sometimes I think we forget we are like living in our phones and all of these apps and we forget that there's life outside of it. So on Sunday, like I don't care to document what I'm doing. I'm just living. And it's really, really nice. So I would say that is my tip for that. I am extremely particular about the skincare that I put on my face because I want to make sure that it is extremely effective. So if you are someone who struggles with any sort of acne at all, I want you to go listen to the episode that I did with Kaylee and Danielle, who are the founders of ClearStem, okay? ClearStem is the first skincare line that combines three categories: anti-acne, anti-aging, and clean, meaning free of hormone disruptors and pore clogging fillers. So I personally am obsessed with both their cleanser and their moisturizer, which has this like almost like gel-like consistency, but it's still extremely hydrating, but doesn't feel heavy on the skin. It's a really, really strong product, and I highly, highly recommend it. So with ClearStem, when you go listen to the episode, you will hear the passion that both Kaylee and Danielle have when it comes to creating basically a system that helps people with acne who feel like they've kind of like gone to the ends of the earth and they don't have any solutions. So within their website, you can put in your current skincare products. It'll tell you whether it has pore clogging ingredients or not. They have a testing section. They have obviously their incredible skincare products. And then they also have their top selling product, which is the Mind Body Skin Hormonal Acne Supplement, which is the best natural alternative to prescription acne treatments such as Accutane and Spironolactone. And as I said, they have their innovative acne lab test, which helps thousands of people get to the root cause of their acne through comprehensive lab testing and lifestyle-based recommendations. Honestly, I have so much respect for the integrity that Danielle and Kaylee have when it comes to creating this brand. Incredible products, but also such an incredible mission to help people with acne kind of feel seen and heard and feel like they have a community and answers when they've kind of not gotten answers anywhere else. So ClearStem has an offer for you guys. You're going to visit clearstemskincare.com and use code DREAMBIGGER at checkout for 20% off your first purchase. Again, that's DREAMBIGGER for 20% off your first purchase on clearstemskincare.com. Don't forget, my two favorite products are the cleanser and the moisturizer. And if you had to pick just one, get the moisturizer. Honestly, it is so hydrating. It's so light. It doesn't clog your pores. It doesn't feel heavy on the skin. It is really such a beautiful, light, but effective moisturizer. I can like sing its praises. I've talked about it 100 times. So enjoy. Again, code DREAMBIGGER for 20% off your first purchase.
And just like that, your favorite besties
and tastemakers,
Benito Skinner
and Mary Beth Barone,
are back.
Did you miss us?
You know they did.
Join us every Wednesday on your way to Sephora to hear our witty, ridiculous, and irreverent musings on life, the universe, existence, and of course, what we currently ride for.
You're going to absolutely live slash die for this podcast. You might even, dare we say,
ride for it.
Carrying on when it comes to talking about social media, I got a few questions on, I guess, like my tactical advice. The major question was, do you niche down or not? And I actually just interviewed Julia Broom, who, if you're not following her on TikTok, you absolutely should. And she is a social media expert, essentially. And in our conversation, you'll hear her talk about this, but we talked about this niche down or not thing. And she said, you are the niche. And this is something that I could not relate with more, because for me, I don't want to niche down to talking about one thing, because my personality is a lot more multifaceted than just one thing, right? And I think that when you do that, you tend to be kind of boxed into this like one little category, and you may be more than that. So of course, if niching down brings you a lot of joy, then you do that. But for me, from a strategic slash tactical perspective, I don't think that there's any reason to niche down into a specific category. I think you are the niche and people follow you for you, you know? Okay. So the next thing I want to get into is my Oura Ring review, which you guys asked for. And like, you know, since I was talking about sleep a little while earlier, I'll talk about the Oura Ring right now. So if you are watching this on video, I have my Oura Ring on. It's the gold ring on my pointer finger on my left hand. I always have it on. And you guys, I got my Oura Ring in, I want to say it was end of 2022. I think it was November of 2022 when I got it. And I am truly obsessed with it. I abhor wearable tech if it gets in the way of my overall outfit. Like, my overall look is very important to me. That's just who I am. And what I love about the Oura Ring, first and foremost, is although it's wearable tech, you can't tell that it's wearable tech. Like, I get complimented on it as a piece of jewelry, and I have to tell people it's actually my Oura Ring. So that's number one. Number two, I'm a very data-driven person in terms of my health and wellness metrics. And I want to know how to optimize based on like actual data. And that's what the Oura Ring gives you. It gives you real life data. So it tells you what is going on with your sleep. like what are things that you can do in order to optimize your sleep. And then it gives you things like your heart rate levels, your HRV levels, your stress levels. Like that's all things that it's tracking. And of course, it has like steps, capabilities, and all of that as well. So it's tracking how you're moving throughout the day. But for me, what I really love about it that, you know, you can't get on the Apple Watch is the sleep stats. So with the sleep stats, it tells you your total sleep, efficiency, restfulness, REM sleep, deep sleep, latency, and timing. Okay, so it gives you a very detailed breakdown on everything that's going on with your sleep. And something that before I got the Oura Ring, sometimes I would go to bed 7 to 7.5 hours before I was supposed to wake up, which, you know, I just always thought that I needed 7 to 7.5 hours of sleep. But I'd wake up in the morning and I'd feel a little bit tired. And what I realized since having the Oura Ring is, although I may be laying down 7 to 7.5 hours before I'm supposed to wake up in the morning, it doesn't mean that I'm sleeping throughout that whole time. So actually for me, I need to lay down in bed about 45 minutes to an hour before the exact time that I want to sleep. Does that make sense? So say, for example, I want to sleep seven hours, okay? That means that I need to get into bed about 8 hours in advance. So if I lay down in bed and like close my eyes and I'm trying to go to bed, I sleep basically between 7 hours to 7 hours, 15 minutes. So the 45 minutes is like, you know, maybe it takes me like 20 minutes or 15 minutes to fall asleep. And then throughout the night, maybe like there's times where your restfulness is a little bit interrupted. So that was something that was really important, because since I started implementing this, I found that I wake up a lot more rested. So that's number one. Number two is it helps me see what is impacting my deep and my REM sleep. So what's crazy is the impact of alcohol on sleep. And you guys, like, we all know this, right? We all know this because the information is out there. But when you see the data, you kind of become hyper, hyper aware of it. And you wake up the next day sometimes, maybe like you've had a few drinks, maybe 2 to 3. You're not drunk or anything like that, but you wake up the next day, maybe you're not feeling all that chipper. And then you look at the sleep stats that you had last night, and it's like such a wake-up call. It's kind of crazy. Then the other thing that I really like about it is it helped me figure out which supplements really work to help me with my sleep, because again, the data was out there. And for me, that is magnesium and the sleep capsules that we have from Array. Those two things are absolute game changers in terms of my quality of sleep. So that's from the sleep standpoint. And then on top of that, it helps me also see, like, are there certain things that I do throughout the day that really help me with my stress levels? So if I do like a couple of minutes of box breathing, does that help me manage my stress? You know, does that like tangibly help me unwind before I'm going to bed? Because like, again, like it tracks your stress levels, right? Then it obviously, like, there's steps that it's always tracking. The only downside I would say with the Oura Ring is that you can't wear it while weightlifting because it does scratch up. So I have actually quite a bit of scratches towards the inside of my ring because I have, you know, on a few occasions picked up weights. But now I just kind of like take the ring off if I'm weightlifting, and then I just add in my workout. So you have the option to like add in what kind of workout you're doing and for how long and what pace you're going at, whether that's light, moderate, or heavy. And that's kind of how you report, I guess, what kind of workout you're doing if you're not wearing the ring. And then the last thing as well is it helps you track your period, which for me, having everything in one place has been really helpful, because before this, I used to kind of have like a different app that I used to use to track my period. And so just having everything in one place is really, really helpful. So for me, I am absolutely obsessed with my Oura Ring. I cannot live without it. I am forever a fan. So that is on the Oura Ring piece. Okay, so moving on, let's talk about mental health things, okay? One of the big questions was how to maintain energy throughout the day and not get overwhelmed with stress. Okay, so this is like a theme that happens pretty often within either my DMs or questions that you guys send in when I'm doing like the book or podcast series on Instagram. So I have a few tangible tips for you. So number one is every morning, start your day with a walk before your workday begins. And of course, as I said, do not use your phone for the first hour of the day. Now, I know that these two things, like if you're someone who gets up and like goes right into work or you check your social media right away, it may be difficult to break those habits, but I promise you, it makes the biggest difference. On days where I get up and I don't go on a walk, I notice myself much more anxious and overwhelmed throughout the day. Whereas if I start my day with a walk and like listening to either a podcast or a book, it just makes my day a lot more just manageable. I'm not as ruffled. I'm not as anxious. I'm not as anything. I'm just very calm throughout the day. So that's number one. Number two is, of course, like when it comes to maintaining energy and not getting overwhelmed, I find that working out is a big portion of that. So Nish and I were actually just talking about this a couple of days ago where, you know, working out is such an intrinsic part of our ability to show up day over day as leaders and kind of it's stress release for us, right? So we both work out at the end of the day and it kind of bookends the doing tasks that we have to do as founders. So like being in it. And so for me, like after I work out, I come back. If I'm working after that, then it's more so like strategy things or I'm thinking creatively. And even for Nish, like it just helps him put a break into his day, which is for him to, I guess, recalibrate before he gets back into work or, you know, relax or whatever it is. So having some form of a workout baked into your day, I think, is incredibly important. The way that working out helps you manage everything from, I guess, like stress to tougher days, I think when you have that support, like the workout kind of gives you support because like from a mental health standpoint, there's endorphins and all of that. It makes you a grittier person. Okay. So working out, I cannot tell you how important it is. And I know that on busy days, it feels like, oh, this is the last thing I want to do. But you have to do it. You just have to do it. Every high-performing individual does it, and it is for a reason because it really does help you kind of manage stress and anxiety throughout the day. Now, the other thing that I want to bring up is walking breaks throughout the day. So I like to take a lot of my meetings. If I don't have to be looking at a screen, I try to take them while walking, or I'll just get up in the middle of the day and go for like a 5 to 10 minute walk. Okay, this doesn't have to be like a 30-minute walk in the middle of the day if that's not what you can do. Obviously, if you're like me and you can take meetings walking, try to do that. But even a 5 to 10 minute walk is really, really important. And I want to tell you a little bit about the science behind it because there is a podcast episode that I listened to from NPR Body Electric where the host actually did this experiment with Columbia Medical School where I think it was over like a few days period where she just sat at her desk all day long and saw like tracked her productivity and how much she was getting done and her mood and all of those things versus the next day where she was, I believe, as part of the experiment, getting up for a walk every like half an hour, every hour and going for like a 5 to 15 minute walk. I don't remember the exact, you know, like the time frames that she was going on these walks for, but her productivity and mood were completely different and significantly better on the day that she was going out on these walks. So go listen to that episode on NPR Body Electric. I think it is absolutely fascinating because it was literally a study that was done by Columbia Medical School. But like scientifically speaking, getting up for walks really does help you with your productivity and just like overall energy levels, mood, helping you combat stress. So if you can, I cannot stress the importance of getting up and going for a walk. It really does help. It helps me think so much clearer. When I'm taking meetings while I'm out on a walk, I'm so much more plugged in and attentive than if I were like sitting at my computer after like the fifth hour of staring at my screen. You know, you're almost like tuned out by that point. So I highly recommend walking breaks. And then the last thing that is, again, like, I guess like it's a tool that you can use to help with stress is a sauna blanket. So I love my infrared sauna blanket. It's from Boncharge. And basically what I do is at the end of the day, I lay in my sauna blanket after I come back home from the gym and I just like go in it for like between like 20 to 40 minutes, depending on how much time I have. And I'll like either watch a YouTube video or a TV show because you're like kind of like in this sauna blanket and you can't really move anywhere. It's not like you can use your hands and go on your phone or anything like that. So you're just like committed to just either sitting in place so you can do that in silence or while watching something, whatever it is. So I've found that it has kind of, again, it's like one of those things that helps me bookend my day. Also, an infrared sauna is really, really helpful for sleep. So it basically you're sweating and you're sweating out toxins and it kind of leaves you feeling a little bit euphoric and tired. So after you do that, get into the shower, take a hot shower, and get into bed. And again, my Oura Ring speaks volumes about what this does for my overall sleep. And, you know, again, this all helps with stress management. And I have a code for you guys. It's Dream Bigger for 15% off of the Bond Charge infrared sauna blanket. I really, really love it. And it is something that helps me so much with stress management and feeling overwhelmed. And just like, it's one of those things that I do to take care of myself. Okay, so after this, on the same, I guess, like thought process and talking about mental health, I got asked how to be more detached and practice better mental health as a business owner. So I am a huge practitioner of stoicism, okay? And this is something that everyone should look into, whether you are a business owner or not, because it just helps you move through the world with a little bit more grace. So essentially, there's this misconception that stoicism is detachment from all emotions, whereas that's not what it is. It's just emotional temperance, okay? It's learning to not let your emotions take control of who you are, your mental health, and how you see the world. And it's basically kind of like a zoomed out view. So if you are wanting to look into stoicism, I highly recommend the work of Ryan Holiday and Robert Greene. I feel like it's a really great place to start. If you are someone who's a little bit more advanced, Marcus Aurelius, really, really good work over there. So just like start reading whatever they're putting out, because I think it'll just give you a lot of perspective. So now with stoicism, I think what it does is it just gives you a lot of perspective. So I remember year one of our business, the smallest thing could go wrong and I would get so upset by it. I'd feel like a complete failure. I would be crying. I would be on this emotional roller coaster. And something that I've learned is that that is simply not productive. Number one, those small things that we think are like really big at the end of the day, they're actually not that big and they're probably not going to put you out of business. Okay. Number two, when we are stressed and worried and panicking, it's not actually solving the problem. So having a calm, kind of like just calm demeanor is very, very helpful. Number three, I think that in the journey of entrepreneurship, being on an emotional roller coaster is kind of a part of it. So what I mean by that is you go through the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. And so if you learn emotional temperance, then you're not constantly thrown for this loop where your self-worth and your identity and how you feel on a day-to-day basis is dictated by the performance of your business. And it's not even just for entrepreneurs. I think it's the same for if you are working at a job, or maybe you're a parent, like whatever your situation is, I think it's really easy to be swept up in your external circumstances dictating how you feel on the inside. But I don't think it can be that way. I think you have to kind of exist as like an entity that's able to regulate your own emotions, if that makes sense. So another thing that personally for me was, I guess, helpful, glass half full type of situation is I've had a couple of near-death experiences, okay? Of course, this is not, you know, something that most people will go through, but I can just tell you from my own perspective. So when I was in college, I had meningitis, and they didn't know if it was the bacterial or the viral kind of meningitis. And, you know, they thought I was going to die. Like, I would hear doctors saying, oh, she's on her deathbed. Things like that. Like, I just like overhear them saying these things. And I think when you go through something like that at that age, I don't know, you just realize that life is like too short to worry about the small things. So I think it just gives you a lot of perspective. And like, while I was going through that, I was very chill because I just had this, I just knew that I was going to be okay either way. So it was fine. And that's just kind of like how I deal with things. And then the other one, you guys know, because it was more recent, a lot of you may know rather, is a couple of years ago, I had a really bad bird accident. So I was riding the bird scooter, fell off of it full speed and had a couple of brain injuries. I was rushed to the ER, like I was unconscious. It was like a whole thing. And again, like that's like, I would say like a pretty near death experience as well. So when something like that happens again, like you have perspective on life. And when that happened, we had actually finished like on that very same day, we had just finished signing the papers for our first round of like fundraising for Array. So it was like the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. And so when something like that happens, again, you realize that you really need to be able to practice emotional temperance. And when you go through like a near-death experience, I think it just gives you a lot of perspective on the world and how, I don't know, like things don't need to be made into such a big deal. So highly recommend Stoicism. I feel like it just helps me get through my life with a little bit more grace. Okay, so somebody asked, how do we foster such a positive work environment at Array? So we are very lucky, and I like thank my lucky stars every day to have the team that we do. I love our team so much, and Nish and I have been really, really, really intentional about hiring the right people and ensuring that we constantly show up as the best leaders possible. So a lot of, you know, fostering a positive work environment, of course, starts with the founders. If the founders are toxic and they are mean people, then that kind of like flows down, if you will. But if the founders are kind people, good people, then I think that's the kind of culture that flows down as well. So that's number one. Number two is you have to hire the right people on your team. Okay. So we hire slow, fire, fast. So if someone is not the right fit, it's not really happened very much, but if someone isn't the right fit, then they need to kind of go immediately, because there's a concept called compassionate leadership where that is what it is, right? So like if you realize that someone may not be the right fit for your team for whatever the reason, maybe it's a cultural misfit, maybe it's a values misfit, maybe they're just like not fitting in for whatever the reason, letting go of them is the best thing that you can do, because you are kind of allowing them to be on their journey so that they can find something that's a better fit for them, while you also make sure that you're protecting the organization that you have built as well. So at Array, we say that we hire juicy peaches only, no bad apples. And, you know, when we were early on in our, I guess, like journey with Array, we would hear over and over again that like one bad apple can poison the whole bunch or whatever that saying is called in the sense of like company culture. And I can tell you that we are 4 years into this right now, and there is nothing that can be more true. You need to make sure that every single person on your team is working together towards one goal, that there's no office drama, that there's no cattiness. It just gets in the way of people working hard, working towards one mission, and fostering just like a positive work environment. You know, like I am so proud to say that everyone on the Array team is friends. Everyone loves to hang out with one another, and everyone is working towards one goal. Like everyone realizes that we are all on the same team. Okay. There's no finger pointing. There's no taking credit for someone's work and making someone feel bad. Even when someone does something quote unquote wrong, like a mistake at work, everyone on the team is like rallying around them to like lift them up so that they learn from it versus making them feel bad. So, you know, those are like the things that we've done to nurture this sort of workplace. We have been really intentional about who we hire. We are really slow to hire. We don't just like go and fill a position with like anyone off the streets. We take our time with hiring every single person, even if it means that in the meantime, like that department that needs the additional person, like everyone's kind of picking up a little bit more work. We're all willing to do that because we all as an organization know how important it is to hire the right person. Like every person that enters Array is the perfect fit. I can say that so confidently. Like I love everyone on our team. And I think every team member can say the same thing as well. And then also I think if you are someone who is in the hiring role, maybe you have your own company or you're like, you know, hiring someone under you, whatever it is, making sure that you're empowering people to make their own decisions and not constantly micromanaging them or like hovering over their shoulders is really important, because I think it gives people a lot of like job satisfaction when they feel like they're working towards goals that they have set or like that have been agreed upon and that they're in the driving seat, not, you know, someone pushing them or forcing them to do something, you know? So having autonomy is really important for us. We like to hire entrepreneurs within the company because, again, like it just helps us make sure that we aren't having to spend all this time micromanaging. We are hiring people who just get it and they're just getting it done. So that, and then also we are a lean team. Okay. We don't like to bloat the company for no reason. We are really like, I guess, like intentional about how many people we're hiring, why we're hiring them, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that at one point it was like sexy to have like a big company, like 50 people, 100 people. No. Okay. Keep your team as lean as you possibly can. Obviously, there's a balance where you don't want to be like overloading people with work so they're dying. But at the same time, there's also like hiring so many people that people just don't have enough things to do. So you want to make sure you're kind of in that middle ground where it kind of leans towards the side of being a little bit lean, but because like that just makes sure that everyone is picking up their weight and everyone's like motivated and they have things to do. So that's what I would say. Oh, and then the last tip is, again, like when it comes to micromanaging, I'm not out here being like, where were you at 3 p.m.? Like if someone is getting their work done and they're available for meetings, like I don't care where they are. Like they can go work from wherever they want as long as they're available when I need them to be available. And as long as they are performing what they need to perform in terms of their responsibilities. That's it. That's all I care about. Okay. The next topic that I think that's the last one we probably have time for is branding / launch processes for new products. So you guys know we launched Constipation pretty recently. I would say it's been like not even 4 weeks, honestly. And I think having the right branding process and like creative process around figuring out what a product is going to be, the story you want to tell, all of those pieces is really important. So with Constipation, we knew that it was a tricky product because it's constipation, you know, and people don't want to talk about that necessarily. Our product was, of course, really unique because it was free, or it is free of harsh laxatives. But also we knew we needed a story and also like something like witty and funny that people would want to talk about on social and just like have out on their pantries and all of that. So we were intentional about our packaging. It is hot pink. It's really cute. And then in terms of our messaging, the launch campaign was let's talk shit. And it was just like we did a live podcast around it, which you can listen to. It was with Tinks. So it was like very light and funny in that sense. And the PR box that we did that we sent to influencers and then customers as well was, again, like it had let's talk shit. And like the one liner for the product is backup for when you're backed up. So again, like really witty, really funny, very light. So people wouldn't be afraid to talk about it. So we currently have an in-house design team. We have our, you know, like head of design, and then we have a senior graphic designer as well. So we worked like really like hand in hand with everyone involved to, you know, figure out exactly how all the assets were going to look. And then we put all those assets into Pietro, which I've talked about. I'm having Ro on my podcast. He's the founder of Pietro. He's a good friend of mine. He's incredible, super smart guy. But we use a platform called Pietro. And we plug in all our designs and then we put it in there and then we get quotes for printers who can do those boxes. And then we use Pietro to box everything up as well as our 3PL, and they put like PR packages and all of that together as well. But the one tip I have for you is if you are a young company and you don't yet have a designer or like anyone on your team who really has that visual capability, Pietro actually has this AI powered tool on their back end where you can pull inspo from like branding that you've seen, throw it in there, and it will like generate designs for your project based on like the inspo. It's actually pretty crazy. And then obviously like you go through the same process that we do whereby you put in like the thing that you need to print and then you get all these quotes and then you get it printed. So it's a really streamlined process. And I think especially for young brands who feel like they need a design agency or a graphic designer in-house, you don't actually need that when you're starting out, because if you, you know, sign up with a company like Pietro, like we love them. We've been using them for like over a year now. It's like a really good, I guess, like quote unquote hack. So that is kind of a little bit about the behind the scenes of our launch process. And then also we, for like the PR package that we did, which was so cool, it was basically everything you need for like your bathroom experience, basically. So we had the constipation capsules. We had a candle from Fleur. It smelled so good. We did customized matches. We branded toilet paper. So it was hot pink and again had the branding on it. It was really cute. And we sent it to influencers. And then we also had a certain amount set aside for our customers also, because again, like this just helped us connect deeper to our community, which for us at Array is like very important to us. We always treat our customers like influencers. That's like a big part of who we are as a brand, and making sure that they're involved with the PR packages and all of that is super, super important to us as well. So if you are, again, a brand who has like a PR play, I would recommend figuring out how you can kind of get your customers involved. Do you want to just like send them even just like the new product drop, like send that to your top 20 customers, like they'll be so happy to get product for free. So that's just another like part, I guess, of our launch plan and like just how we do things at Array. All right, that's everything we have time for today. I hope you guys found this episode helpful. And as always, let me know if there's any other specific topics you want me to cover on like DMs. You can write it in the review section. Just let me know what more you want to hear from me, and I will talk to you next week. Thank you so much for listening. If you loved the episode and feel like it brought you value, don't forget to rate the show and leave a review. It takes 5 seconds and really helps the show grow so I can keep bringing on awesome guests. If you want to follow me behind the scenes, you can find me on Instagram at Sif Hyder. And don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss a thing. I drop new episodes every Tuesday, so come hang with me and shoot the shit with some really smart people, learn and unlearn, and have a lot of fun. See you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.